Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Dr. Paul McHugh, the Distinguished Service Professor of Psychiatry at Johns Hopkins University and former psychiatrist-in-chief for Johns Hopkins Hospital, has studied sexuality for 40 years and said it is a scientific fact that there is no gay gene. We're going to be talking about it in Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber, the founder of barbedwire.com, and Holly Mead, the director of communications for Liberty Counsel. Dr. McHugh, Matt, says that environment is very important. In his book, The Mind Has Mountains, Reflections on Society in Psychiatry, he explains that the permissive sexual culture in the United States today has confused desire with love, and that homosexuality is a false or erroneous desire. Now, there's other studies besides Dr. McHugh that have also come to the same conclusion, that there is no such thing as a gay gene.
Multiple studies, and in fact, even the radical leftist, they have completely, from a political standpoint, leftist APA, the American Psychiatric Association, who have really destroyed their credibility with political activity, even they will not go so far as to say that people are born gay, if you will. They point out that clearly biology plays a huge, if not the predominant factor. And McHugh here says that no, it is the factor. And we know, for instance, that the archives of sexual behaviors, the studies that they have, over 40%, nearly half actually, of men who engage in same-sex behavior were homosexually assaulted by adult men as children or adolescents. And so those same-sex temptations and behaviors are a result of that kind of sexual behavior. It's learned behavior, and they learn that to them is what becomes their sexuality, oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes based upon childhood sexual abuse. And that's not me saying that. That's the Archives of Sexual Behavior, which is no bastion of conservatism.
That's correct. And Dr. Paul McHugh was part of Johns Hopkins University, which is very significant with regards to this whole bathroom agenda, the so-called LGBT agenda, Bruce, Caitlyn Jenner, if you will, because that was the first institution in the United States that began this, what's called SRS, sex reassignment surgeries. Now, that's the name they give to this kind of a surgery where someone wants to change their appearance to look like the opposite sex. So they do a couple of things. One, they have to go through hormone treatment, and that is hormones of the opposite sex. So if you're male, you take higher levels of estrogen, and if you're female, higher levels of testosterone. And then after that, and you have to do that, by the way, for the rest of your life, then you go through the plastic surgery, whether it's a total mastectomy or whatever it might be, depending upon who you are, your gender. They were the first institution in the United States that actually did these surgeries. And Paul McHugh was there at Johns Hopkins University during that time. He was the leading psychiatrist there dealing with these individuals. Well, what did Johns Hopkins University do? After doing these things for a number of years, they decided to stop. Why? Because they found a couple of factors. One, that there was no relief substantially of the mental stress that these people had experienced before versus after the surgery. And number two, a number of these individuals regretted going through this invasive surgery, and they wanted to go back to where they were originally born. So women that had their breast removed, some of them regretted it. Well, at that point in time, it's hard to reverse this. So he found that also, number three, that there was a 40% increase of suicide of those who had actually gone through this kind of surgery. So they stopped doing it. And, one of the phrases that came out of Johns Hopkins University is you don't give liposuction to an anorexic. You do mental behavior modification rather than try to placate somebody's disturbed mental processes by doing invasive physical surgery or even removal of body parts.
You know, so many of these people come, I think, from a place of pain in their life, perhaps in childhood, but I really see it as a rebellion against the Creator. I mean, God is very clear about this issue in Scripture. And so when we choose to rebel against the way He's created us, it's so important for the church to, first of all, practice compassion, but not compromise, and to stand for scriptural truths about this whole issue and not to compromise.
Yeah. Well, what we're talking about here are disordered behaviors. They are contrary to the natural created order, to the natural biological scientific order. They are disordered behaviors and whatever they stem from. And so we, of course, we love these individuals who are engaged in these disordered behaviors. But unfortunately, our culture has embraced these destructive, self-destructive. We know that the consequences of these behaviors frequently, as according to the CDC, involve disease, mental depression and disorder and substance abuse. Well, Dr. McHugh, in an interview with Virtue Online, he said something very interesting. He said the best data, of course, comes from the Framingham study. He said, if you are a man and you grew up in a rural environment, you are four times less likely to have homosexual relationships than if you grew up in a metropolitan area. That's not left-handedness. In other words, environment, this is when you compare nature and nurture, this is a primarily nurture issue.
Right. Close relationships are so vital, especially in the young formative ages.
And, you know, there's been other studies, a number of them, that are done on identical twins. So if you have identical twins and one has blue eyes, the other has blue eyes, one has blonde hair, the other has blonde hair. In some cases, they have the exact same GPA. In fact, there was recently two identical twins that graduated with the exact same GPA. They both were the co-valedictorians of their class. Amazing. So if you have this gene and one of the identical twins is homosexual, then if it's genetic, the other twin would be also homosexual. And what they found in those twin studies is that there is no correlation. So this idea that there is a gene, that you're wired that way, has been debunked in multiple study after study. And as Paul McHugh says, it's primarily environmental. That plays a major role. So now if environment plays a major role, which it does, then what happens to these children in school, K through 12, that now start to get fed propaganda that you're not really male or female. You have to experiment to find out who you are, and experiment they even encourage in some of these situations. And some of these advocacy organizations encourage in this form agenda to experiment with the same sex, to find out if you're gay, if you're lesbian, if you're whatever. This is very damaging because then you're literally encouraging people to go against their natural created order of male or female.
Right. And, you know, of course, the answer is Christ in all of this. And, you know, all of us know people that have once chosen the homosexual lifestyle and then embraced Christ and now walk as new creatures. So they weren't born, well, you know, with that gay gene. They were born with this mental pain or whatever and have become Christians and now new creations.
Yeah. In his interview, Dr. McHugh also pointed out how this gay gene myth, this born that way myth, has manifested itself in our culture. He said, it's really amazing. I mean, 50 years ago, homosexual behavior was a crime, and now we're talking about same-sex marriage. Anyone who wants to stick with the tradition is accused of being a biblical literist or a homophobic racist because of being part of the more fundamental change in our society towards permissiveness, that it is easy, divorce, cohabitation, and abortion, pornography, and so on.
Now we're enabling the behavior instead of dealing with it.
And we're introducing it at the young kindergarten level through this whole so-called LGBT agenda. You know, I was disturbed at the fact that Paul Thiel spoke at the Republican National Convention. He is the founder or co-founder of PayPals, and he's openly homosexual. And he chastised the people there, saying, number one, he was gay and he was proud of it. But he also chastised them to say that they need to, you know, put aside these so-called culture wars, and who cares what restroom you use? Well,
I care.
Who cares? Well, I can tell you, Paul Thiel cares, because he is openly opposing the reelection of the North Carolina governor. He cares. He has indicated that he's going to boycott that particular state. He is actually part of the so-called culture war. So don't be fooled by the rhetoric that comes out of that particular speech of Paul Thiel. You know, and women care, families care, fathers care when their daughter goes into one of these facilities and there is a man. For more information, go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. That's lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. Become an active partner of Liberty Counsel and make a difference in your community and across the nation.